Good morning again. We're happy to have Brother Dean Robertson with us today and with his wife, Marilyn. We're thankful to have them. They live in Longview, Texas, and worship and work with the Alpine Church there. Dean has preached the gospel in various places, and he has spoken for us on previous occasions here also. And he's been in the past a regular panelist on our Give Me the Bible program. Some of y'all might remember that. It's been a good while since he's been on that panel. We want to welcome him to Palestine, to our city, and to our congregation today. Brother Dean.
First off, let me do something because I feel as though I'd be remiss if I did not. As probably believe many of you know, that several years ago, it's been seven now, that I had a problem, a physical problem, which you helped me out with. Marilyn and myself were very grateful for your support, for your prayers especially, and for all that you did for us during that trying time. But I'm doing a lot better. I'm doing well. I'm playing golf and things such as that, and that keeps me sane, I think. but we're glad to be with you here this morning. And during my illness, again, I want to thank you for all that you did, and especially next to God in my prayers, I want to personally and publicly thank my wife, Marilyn, for all that she did for me during that time. You have to always keep in mind caregivers when somebody is ill. They go through quite a bit, and so you need to pray for them also. By the way, you people who are visitors here this morning, I'm not Dan Manuel. He's the regular preacher. I'm the irregular preacher, I guess. But when I, by the way, I saw my name up here and on the board, you know, you always... You look forward one day to see your names in lights, so that's about as close as I'll come. But my son is the true Phil Robertson. Bless his heart. He doesn't look anything like that, thank goodness. But one of the things I like to do when I get up and preach before a congregation, I like to be understood. I like to make it simple where you can understand it. Sort of reminds me of the fellow who was in the airport, and he was standing around waiting to get his luggage, and he overheard an older man and a younger fellow. This happened to be the guy, older guy's brother-in-law. They were talking about the older man had just been to Hawaii. And you could understand that this older fella had sort of an Israeli accent, you know, when he talked. But when the older fellow went off to get his luggage, this guy went over to the older man and said, "Say, I just heard you talking and saying that you'd just been to Hawaii." He said, "I've always wondered about this. What is the correct pronunciation? Is it Hawaii or Hawaii?" And he unhesitatingly said, "Hawaii." He said, "Thank you." He said, "You're welcome." He still didn't know. So I hope I can be more distinct than that. Well, what I'm going to talk about this morning, I'm going to talk about analogies. Now, an analogy means that if one thing is similar in one respect, it's similar in another respect. Or I'm going to talk about figures of speech in reference to the New Testament church. Now, maybe some of you studied this and maybe you haven't, but I've preached this a lot of times concerning this matter and not really thought anything much about it. You see, when I'd go along and preach, I'd say, well, I'm going to tell you about the New Testament church, and the New Testament church is the body of Christ. And I would go to Ephesians maybe 1:22 and 23, where it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body." I might turn over to Colossians 1:18. It says, "For he is the head of the church, comma, the body." And then I might go along in my lesson, I might preach that the church is the kingdom of Christ. I might turn over to Matthew 26 and 29, where it says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my King Father's kingdom." I might turn to Colossians 1:13. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Then as I go along in that lesson, I might point out that the church is the family or the household of God. I'll turn over to Galatians 6 and 10. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." And I might also in that lesson refer to the church as being the flock. And using scripture like 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. I might refer to the church as the bride of Christ, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, Revelations 22 and 17. But I might go along and I might preach that way, and I might refer to the church as the body, as the kingdom, as the household of God, as the bride of Christ, and I'd preach that, and that would be it. Well, when I get through with something like that many times, you know, I got to thinking, I may have said something to somebody, but I may not have said anything to anybody. There was a preacher who was standing at the back of the foyer after he had preached a lesson that Sunday morning. A young lady who was a guest came through and shook his hand and said, "Preacher, I heard you say that you talked about the body of Christ. And it said, there's one thing I don't understand. What does that mean, that the church is the body of Christ?" Well, it hit him that he hadn't said anything about that, he had told her, maybe somebody else, what the church was, and he did not refer to it in the figures of speech that the scriptures do. He didn't tell her what it was. He just referred to it as the body of Christ. Now, he may have said something to brethren who have studied these things, but a lot of times a preacher will get up and he'll preach, and he doesn't realize that a lot of people don't understand many of these things that he's talking about. Let me illustrate it this way. What if I was to ask you, what does rattlesnake meat taste like? Well, you might come back and say, well, it tastes like black snake. Well, that might be true, but you haven't said anything to me. What does hippopotamus taste like? Well, it's very close to elephant. Well, that may be true also, but you see, you haven't relayed anything to me. And so many times it may be so, but to tell a person that the church is the body of Christ is true, but you see, that is involved in a figure of speech to identify the body. And until you communicate that to someone, they won't understand what you're talking about. Now, in the classifying process, many times, we do err a lot of times. And what we want to do is we want to help people to understand what the church is all about. And it's like in defining a church. Well, let me do it this way. Let's just say that let's just use this board up here. Let's just say this is a big board, and it's a melamine, and I have a marker up here. And I'm going to use ice cream. Let's use ice cream. I'm going to put over here ice cream. Over here on this side, I'm going to put vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, peach. You see? Now then, if I try to erase this and right over here, ice cream at the top of that, you see, that wouldn't fit. Because ice cream doesn't belong over here. I have to take ice cream and put it back over here. Because chocolate flavors ice cream. Strawberry gives ice cream strawberry flavor. Same with peach and vanilla. Now, if I were to take the church, and I wrote the church over here, and over here I wrote the body, the household, the bride of Christ. You see, you can't take the word church and put it over here in this category, because it has to remain over there. It's a common denominator of these things. You see, the body gives church body flavor. The bride gives it bride flavor. The household gives it household flavor, and the flock, and so forth. But many times we just lump it all together, and that does not relay what the church is all about. And so many times we do err in using that figure of speech. And when you lump all of these things together as it relates to the other, many times it's just a waste of time. These are figures of speech that flavor the church, and each needs to be considered in and of itself to be understood. And that's why the Lord gave it this figure of speech. You see, the Lord used a lot of things in the Bible to try to get us to understand what He wants us to interpret about His church. And that's what our lesson is about this morning. Now, let's take first the definition of the church. Well, what is the church? Well, the church is people who have been brought together in a right relationship with God. There was a preacher one time who was helping his little daughter with her Sunday school lesson. And he said, "Now, Amy, I want you to understand that the church is people. You see, the church is not a building. The church is people. Do you understand that, Amy? And she said, yes, Daddy, I understand that. Now, you've got that. The church is people. It's not a building. Well, as he drove up to the building the next morning to go to church, she looked up and said, here we are at the people, Daddy. Well, she understood that. You know, that's what the church is. The church is you and me who make up this body of Christ. Christ shed his blood in Acts 20 and 28. Therefore, take heed to those which he purchased with his own blood, and he shed his blood for us. Now, that's elementary, and I know that. But I said this to talk about this figure of speech of what the body is all about, the church is all about. It's a figure of speech, relationship to you and I. Now, when we talk about the church being the bride of Christ, what are we talking about? What does bride flavor mean? Well, first, it's a matter of prophecy. In Hosea 2 and 16, it says, and it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. Now, what the Lord is trying to get across to us in that, we're not like a servant and master type of relationship with God in the church. We are a husband and wife type of relationship, not a master and servant, but a husband and wife relationship. You know, the relationship that a husband and wife have with one another is just a close-knit relationship, isn't it? And isn't it remarkable and isn't it great when you see a man and wife who've been married 50 years, maybe going on 60 years, and they just, many times they're just so funny. They just know one another so well. Reminds me of the story of the wife who was in the kitchen one morning, as she always did. She had the ironing board out over there by the sink, and she was ironing. And he was over there, as he usually did in the morning. He had his newspaper and his coffee, and he had his face stuck in the newspaper, and he was reading that. And as he was reading, he heard her begin to sniffle. And he looked up over his paper, and he said, what's the matter with you? She says, you don't love me anymore. He says, I don't love you anymore. She said, no, you don't love me anymore. He said, why is that? She said, well, it used to be that when we get up early in the morning like this, and I'd be over here ironing, you'd come up behind me and you'd nibble on my ear. She said, you don't do that anymore. Well, he put his paper down. He folded it up. He pushed himself away from the table. He started out of the room, and she says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to get my teeth. What a relationship. Beautiful relationship that a husband and wife have. And this is the type of relationship we are to have with Christ as a body of Christians, a body of believers. I'm close to you and you're close to me and we're close to the Lord. Now, what does kingdom do in giving the church kingdom flavor? Well, we don't live in a kingdom type of society. We live in a republic where, you know, the supreme power is held by citizens who are voted as our representatives, and that's what we live in. But back then, it was a kingdom type of a relationship. Now, if you have a kingdom, you have to have a king, and a king has to have people under him, and that is his kingdom. And the king in that situation has all authority. A king always had all authority. And you go back reading in the old Bible and you'll see how much authority kings had. And so the king has authority. And he has authority as I go along and I live day by day. In Luke 6 and 46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I tell you to do? If we have a kingdom, we have a king. And we're subject to him on a day by day basis. Today, you know, it seems like everybody wants to be free. Everybody wants to do their own thing. And therefore, they go along and they deny the lordship. I tell you, it amazes me today, and I may be stepping on some toes here this morning, but I'm just amazed how many tattoos are going on out there and young people getting tattoos. I used to always say that when a person got a lot of tattoos, especially where they were very visible, I said they just cut themselves out of getting a job 90% of the time. But now it's gotten to the point that the people that are interviewing them, they have as many tattoos as they do. And so you probably wouldn't even be a candidate for the job if you didn't do that. But anyway, we have a lot of people who just want to be free. They don't want to give in to a kingdom or a lordship. And so that's why we have the kingdom analogy, that Jesus is the ruler and he is the king and we are his subjects, and we are to give our allegiance to him on a day-by-day basis. Well, the church is referred to as the flock of God. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, that's talking about relationship. Do you remember when the Lord was talking in John, the 10th chapter, about this very subject? And he says that we are the sheep and that he is the shepherd and we are to follow him. He said, most assuredly, I say to you that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, Jesus is the shepherd, and they that follow him are his sheep. And it suggests and emphasizes the matter of unending and constant devotion that the sheep give to the shepherd. The sheep, it says, hear the master's voice. They listen to it. They respond to it. But they don't respond to any other voice. They respond just to the shepherd. And you know, it never comes into the mind of sheep to wake up one morning and one sheep get up and say, fellows, you know, we've been following this shepherd all these years. I think it's about time that we just took a day off. Sheep never do that. They never even think about that. So they don't do that. When the shepherd calls today, they respond today, and they keep on in a constant everyday endeavor to follow the sheep. You know, we've got to be careful about our Christianity. It's not a coat that we can put on and take off. It's something that's constant. It's a following the shepherd every single day. And when we fail to understand that, then we fail to understand that figure of speech, that we are the flock and he is the shepherd. What is our attitude toward the shepherd? The church is referred to as the body of Christ. Now, this is really depicted like our human body. And this is rather amusing to me, but when in 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 12, let's go there first, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it is many. Now, the body here is depicted as being a group of people, and every single member of that body is important. Now, a lot of times people get to thinking that they're not that important, and they'll have a lot of problems in that respect. But let me tell you how important you are to this congregation right here. You are important because you are an example. You're an example to those that know you, the people around you, the people in this community. Because here this morning, when the body of Christ is meeting, you're here. Now, a lot of time older people get to thinking, well, because I'm so old and I can't do much anymore, then I'm not very important. Well, I beg to differ with you about that. You're very important. We know people probably in this congregation who it's very difficult for them to even get here this morning, difficult for them to get out of bed. But they'll show up here in walkers, or they'll show up here in wheelchairs, or they're in a cane, and it's just hard for them to get around. Well, let me tell you about you. You are very important to this body of people because you're such an example and such an inspiration that you're just being here, that you can come and just sit in the pew. Don't think that you're not worth much because you are. If we can do nothing else but do that, then we are noticed. You are noticed. And you need to realize that, how important you are. So don't ever get to thinking that you're not important in whatever your state you're in. You are important. Well, the church is referred to as the family. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 23, and well, let's go back to verse 15. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, yet they are one body. So the writer here is trying to get us to understand by using our physical bodies. Do you remember there was a commercial one time, I think it was by a congestant, nosal congestant, and the body was personified as a nose, you remember that? And this is sort of a comical thing here. I mean, what about the eye, you know, saying, I'm not an ear, the ear or the foot, the hand saying, I'm not a foot, so I'm not important. It just flies into the face of what the body is all about. And the family figure tells us that we are all needed. We are all to care for one another. And, you know, these Corinthians that Paul was writing to, if they had stopped fussing and arguing with one another, they could have accomplished a lot more for the Lord. But yet that was their mindset. And they fussed and they fight. But the family figure of the body emphasizes that we are all one and that we need one another and we need to care for one another. What member of your body is not important? Let me give you an example. You've probably done this or know somebody who has. You ever tried to hang a picture? And you know how small those nails are. You take that hammer back and you wham toward that nail, but you miss the nail and hit your thumb. Now, you know what happens when you hit your thumb? The first thing that happens is that your other hand grabs the thumb. And your mouth makes sort of a contortion, you see. Your body will bend over. Your feet will kind of do this, you see. And you'll start saying Genesis, Leviticus, Atticus, number. But your whole body comes to the aid of that one member that you don't think is that important, but it really is. But you know, it never behooves the hip to say, I told you not to do that. Or the heart say, I knew that was going to happen. Or some other member of your body saying, well, you're just on your own. That never happens. And you see, that's the way we are to be as a body of Christ. That's what the church is all about. That's why the Lord gave the church body flavor. That we are to all come to the aid of one another when one of us is hurting or where they need our support. So it is with the Lord's church. We are all here to do what we can do. And this old stuff, you know, a lot of times we get to thinking in the church and so forth that, you know, I just am not very, very good at the certain things because I can't do certain things like somebody else. This person can do them so much better than me, and therefore, you know, I just don't think I'm that one that I just adding anything, you know, to the Lord's cause. You know, even in preaching, there's so many preachers that are so much better than other preachers, but and it's an older preacher can preach so much better than a younger fellow, but you know what we need to do? We need to hold up that young fellow's hands. Because what one fellow can do or what one person can do better than another person has nothing to do with the talents and the abilities that you have. You need to use those. You know, some people make me feel like I've never opened the Bible. They have such intelligence in that. But yet, for people who are just starting out and learning the Scriptures, we need to hold their hand up. And all of us should be the type of an individual that cares for one another. You know, if it got down to the point to where we just chose the best of everything, of everyone, that there would just be one person, a preacher in all the church, there would just be one song leader because he's all the best. But you see, we all need to contribute. We all need to be a part. So when you think about the church, I want you to think about it as people. Forgiven people who have come together to enrich their souls and to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church is all about. But the church is also referred to as a bride. And when you think of the bride, think of the intimacy of the relationship that you are to have with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the church is referred to as the kingdom, the Lord gives it kingdom flavor. Remember that the king has all authority and we are subject to him. When the church is referred to as the flock, that means that we are to be the sheep who have unending and constant devotion. That's what flock means. We are the body of Christ. That means that every member is important. When one member is hurting, we all are hurting, and we are to come to the aid of that one individual. The church is referred to as the family of God. That means we are to care for one another and be there. So the next time you see these terms, remember why they are there and what God is trying to get us to understand, that we are all in this boat together, so to speak. We are a member of the Lord's body. We are a family. We are a bride. We are a flock. We are a household. We are a family of God. And so the next time you come across these terms in the Scripture, think about those things and study the Scriptures and learn what the Lord is trying to get us to understand. Because this book is written in such a way that even the simplest individual can understand it. And yet it has such information that a person could study it for a lifetime and never understand everything that's in here. That's what it's all about. If you owe duty to God this morning, would you please come while we stand and while we sing?